Are you overwhelmed with organizing all of those family photos? Stay tuned for some strategies on not only how to organize, but also to protect and preserve. Welcome to Got Clutter, Get Organized, the go-to source for transforming chaos into order. Hosted by me, Janet M. Taylor. With over 30 years of experience in the organizing industry, I've dedicated my career to helping clients master the art of organization, turning cluttered spaces into models of efficiency and peace. I want to welcome you if you are a regular listener and just say hello if you are joining us for the very first time. I hope you're having a great start to this week. In this episode, we've got some exciting things lined up for you. Our guest, Rachel Arbuckle, is going to share strategies to tackle the photo organizing project. And if any of you have been with me long enough, you know I had my organizing project several summers ago. I will also be sharing my favorite product, app, repurpose, as well as book suggestion for this week. And if you didn't know, one of the statistics I want to share with you is a record $63 billion of weather disasters hit the earth in 2023. That $63 billion worth of disasters hit the earth. And I'm sharing this with you because one of the things when disasters hit is sometimes our photos are damaged, destroyed, which is why I wanted to bring on our guests. So in 2014, a series of fierce fires roared through San Diego County, the largest of which started on the mountain just behind my home. I had only minutes to grab a few things. My instinct was to gather all of our photos, but I panicked when I realized my precious memories were all over our home in boxes, picture frames, and albums. I grabbed what I could, and our family headed to safety. After many days of worry, we were able to return home to the memories we had to leave behind. Thankfully, our home was spared, but others in our community were not as fortunate. This experience not only solidified my commitment to protect my family's collection of photos, but prompted me to found 2,000 Paces Photo Organizing, encouraging you to organize and protect your important memories. So I want you to sit back. I want you to listen, but also share this interview with a friend, a relative, on how they can not only organize, but also preserve and protect those family photos. Welcome to Got Clutter, Get Organized, the conversation. You know, I always get excited whenever I do these because today we have Rachel Arbuckle of 2000 Paces Photo Organizing. I can't wait to dive into this conversation because Rachel, actually one summer I spent organizing all my mother's photos, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh.
So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Janet. It's such an honor to be in the presence of a woman who is so strong and organized and wants to help people. I love to surround myself with women just like you. And I imagine that the people listening are either the same or striving for the same. So honored to be here.
So Rachel, before we get started and just, you know, really talking about how people can really not only preserve, but organize their photos, what made you decide to start this business?
Sure. Great question, because some people aren't even aware that a business like this exists. They don't even know that they can outsource to an expert to help them. I had no grand plans to start a company. I worked in corporate America doing the 9-to-5, not passionate, but paying the bills and content enough, if you will. And I live in Southern California where fires are prevalent. And there was a particular fire that we had no notice. Normally, you know, you've got hours to evacuate and things like that. We didn't have any notice, and I had minutes to grab what I could. And of course, your family and your pets are priority. And then we tried to grab a computer and a couple scrapbooks. But inevitably, we had my grandfather's World War II memorabilia, my kids' photos and artwork and report cards and photos of my parents. And I happen to be what I call the memory keeper of my family. And I imagine, Janet, you can relate to that, right? There's always one of us that somehow, whether we want to or not, inherits everything. So I felt this tremendous responsibility. And I looked up at this fire, and we were evacuated for 6 or 7 days. And I looked up and thought, oh my gosh, we're going to lose all these memories that are absolutely irreplaceable. And I was devastated, and it caused me so much anxiety. And I looked over at my husband, and I still get chills to this day thinking about it because it was such a profound moment in my life. And I looked at him and said, excuse me. I looked at him and said, we need to find a solution to get these protected if our photos survived. And they did. We had some smoke damage, but the wind shifted. We were very lucky. Some people in our community, of course, were not as lucky. And I started looking for a solution, and I, at the time, didn't find one that I thought our photos deserved. So I created a solution.
Excuse me. That is wonderful, because my story is that my mother was a photographer, but she also actually developed her photos.
Your kids, so she had her own dark room.
Yeah, so she had photos from probably before 1923, from when she was born, up until, of course, you know, when I was born and after. So when she passed away, I got those bins. It was just bins. Yeah. And it was a little overwhelming even for me, and I kept putting it off, which is why I really wanted to have this conversation with you, because it can be overwhelming just not only trying to organize them, but also preserve them. So I really wanted you to first talk about some of the things that, when it comes to photos, what we possibly should not be doing in regards to keeping them or storing them or hiding them, all of those things.
Yeah. You know, the list can be very long depending on what your goals are. But since we've only got limited time, I'll try and highlight some things. You know, a couple things are, it's really my goal for our clients when we work on a project is, number one, preservation, because that's what prompted me to start the business. Let's preserve and protect those memories so that they can be enjoyed for generations. And then my second goal is, let's organize them in a way where you can find them. For example, it doesn't do any good to just digitize everything. That takes care of problem one. But how do you find everything if it's just, you know, Taylor family one, Taylor family two. So with that in mind, let's talk about preservation. If you aren't ready to tackle your own collection of photos or hire somebody, a couple of things to keep in mind. I would try and avoid keeping them in the garage or the attic or anywhere that has extreme temperature. Extreme heat for sure is going to hurt your photos. And of course, extreme cold, not as much, but it's any kind of moisture. Oftentimes people will store them in their garage, and I realize not everybody has a whole room to dedicate to their photos. So we do what we can, keep them away from the water heater. We have had clients, the water heater burst and the photos got damaged. Also try, if you have them near a water source. So let's say that there's a bathtub, right, you know, above the ceiling. Those are little things that you should keep in mind. I know it's a lot, but where are my photos? So keeping them in a dry, climate-controlled space is really ideal. Again, I realize that we're all living our lives, and you do what you can. If you can put them in some watertight bins until you can get them digitized, that may help. Here in San Diego, we had to worry about fires before, but now we've got floods and hurricanes, which is you know, unprecedented. And we've had a number of people in San Diego whose photos drifted a mile away because of the floods. Maybe they could have been protected a little bit if they were in watertight bins. Ultimately, getting them digitized is really should be the goal, because as much as we want to hold on to those precious print photos, if, heaven forbid, something happened to them and you have them digitized, you can still enjoy them. You can reprint them. So that's, you know, preservation. Home movies as well. I encourage people to get the home movies converted as soon as you can. The, you know, the old VHS tapes and the mini DVs and all the big cameras we all used to carry around, and we've got boxes of the tapes, you know what I mean? Those unfortunately do deteriorate over time, more so than some other technologies. And so I would encourage people to get that done. We do that here, but if, you know, there's a lot of places that can do that. CDs, DVDs, memory cards, thumb drives. Sometimes people don't think about some of that older digital data. And what I recommend is that at the very least, you transfer that and consolidate it into one external hard drive. That's always our first step. If you're doing it on your own, getting it onto a drive and then getting it onto an online server, even if it's not, you're not ready to organize it or you don't know how to tackle it, you've got a backup. Because it's very easy for those CDs and DVDs to get scratched, to get broken, and so on. Let's see. So that's the preservation part of it. Do you want me to touch on some basic organizing or what?
Yes, please. Because I'm taking notes, Rich. I'm like, okay, water, a waterproof bin. Okay, yes. Let's see. Do I have one? I think I have one. But because like right now, I mean, you know, and I'm thinking organizing, but also decorative. They're in these cute little boxes, decorative boxes. I'm like, you know what? You're moving into a nice little bin. So
that's right.
Thank you for that tip. I do have them on protective paper, but you continue because I'm taking notes here, Rachel.
No, great. I mean, and it does feel overwhelming. And I want to be careful not to throw out so many things that people go, oh my gosh, I've got so many things to do and I'm so overwhelmed that I don't want to get started. So I think it's really important to keep in mind, and I know you talk to your listeners about this, do what you can. Do what you're capable of doing. So, you know, focusing on that preservation, even again, if it's not organizing it right away, but it's getting it in the bins. If it's not organizing the digital, but it's transferring it and getting it to an online service and making sure it's backed up. The only other comment I'll make about preservation is, you know, those old photo albums, the adhesive ones, right? You pull the plastic back and they're probably very yellow.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Anybody that experienced the 60s, 70s and 80s knows about those albums. Unfortunately, those, of course, contain chemicals that are deteriorating the photos right now as we're sitting here. And so if you have the opportunity to take them out of those albums, you know, that's the first thing we do is when we get a collection of print items, we get them out of the albums, we get them out of the envelopes, and then you're ready to start organizing them. So that's on the preservation side. On the organizing side, I'll start with print. So really for both, I recommend that, and the way that we organize is chronologically. I know many people think, well, I've got four children, so I want to separate it by children, you know, by child, and make sure that when I'm ready to downsize or I, you know, move on to the next chapter, I can hand that off to my kids. But we all know what the problem is. If you've got four kids, inevitably there's very few photos that only has the one child in it. So now you've got child three who has this small stack. They have part of the story. Child two has part of the story. Then the question comes, well, what do I do then? How do I get all these photos to them? Organizing your photos chronologically, first of all, is how we live our lives. That's our journey. Our journey is not experienced by, I went to Disneyland. I went on these trips. I had school. It's lived chronologically. So why don't we revisit that story in the way that we lived it? Then what you can do is now you've got the chronological stories. You can go back to remember the date. But with the digital age now, we can use facial recognition and keywords. So you've got this organized, digitized set of photos, but then you can type in, for example, I have two children, Darian and Isaiah, and I can type both of their names in and find every photo in which the two of them are in. I can type my mom's name and find photos that the three of them are in. And now I've got this beautiful gift to give to my mom for Mother's Day. The point is that you organize in the way you lived your life, and then you add these keywords so you can kind of magically pull out what you need when you need it.
It's
a fun little trick. I'm amazed how many people come to us and say, you know what, I've spent hours trying to organize these photos, and I would put all the dance recitals here and all the sports here and all the trips here. And our brain thinks that way. Our brain thinks kind of like, you know, those old file cabinets, right? And you'd have the file cabinet and you'd pull one drawer open and it would say 1990s. And then in a folder, it would 1991 and then January. That's how we used to gather things. We don't need to do it that way anymore, but it's tough for our minds to kind of wrap around this new way to do it. What I want to encourage you to do is sort of type whatever you want and let that magically fly out of that digital file cabinet.
I love that. And you know, my mother probably started that, Rachel, because she dated all her photos, which was wonderful for me. But also what I did, because she was one of 10 children.
Oh my goodness.
I did it like by child. So each of my aunts and my uncles. So I separated them. And then because she had so many pictures of my cousins, so then I started matching my cousins to their parents.
Right.
And then actually, I just started actually giving them the pictures because I said, the only pictures I really value is those of my mother.
Right.
I do not value your picture of you at Easter when you were 3. And now you're like 6, 7. And a grandfather.
Right.
But I like that chronological. Oh my goodness, you're just giving so many little tips.
You know what though, Janet, you just brought up a really great point. As much as I want to encourage people to organize their entire collection, and I'll give a couple other tips as well, it's okay, and I'm sure you talk about this too. I've heard you talk about it. It's okay to let go of some things too that aren't meaningful to you. So if you've got those photos of your 3-year-old cousin, who's now 6, 7, you know, get rid of it or hand it off, you know, to that person. That's okay. I think, you know, particularly as women, we have a lot of guilt when it comes to everything. But when it comes to the photos, I didn't organize it enough. I didn't prepare it for my children. It's my responsibility to take care of everybody else. And I love the fact that you were able to kind of set some boundaries and say, these are the photos that I want to put my attention into.
Mm-hmm, because there were so many photos of my mother. Yeah, I mean, she enjoyed life. It was parties, the beach, this, that, and the other. So I love those photos. And even some of the black and white ones she took.
Those are the best. Let me ask you, Janet, were you able to, it sounds like you inherited, like many of us, after we lost a parent, we inherited their photos, but did you have the opportunity prior to your mom's passing to talk to her about some of the photos and some of the stories behind them?
Oh, Rachel, yes, I did. So I was trying to help my mother get organized.
Okay.
And I'm going through all this little bin she had of keepsakes, and it was an invitation in there, but the invitation didn't have the last name of any family member. So I was just going, I tossed it. And she's like, oh, no. She said that was the wedding that I was in. And then I remember, she had a picture of her in a yellow dress because she was like one of the bridesmaids.
Yeah.
I still have the gloves. Not that I wear them. But that, or then there was another picture when she used to work at a college. She's like, oh, yes, these are these people. So I did get a lot of that while she was still living, of different people. So there's still a few pictures. I'm still like, well, who is this child and who does he belong to?
Yeah.
Nobody knows, but the majority of them I did actually get to talk to her about. So thank you for asking that. But yes, I did.
Good. I mean, I think that's what's really important. We, you know, we're in this era where we love to organize and put everything in pretty bins and make it accessible. And I love that. Don't get me wrong. I'm the first to sign up. The Container Store is my favorite place to shop, right? But it's really about the stories behind it. And so, unfortunately, we do have clients that come in, and we work with clients all over the country, by the way. So whether they come in or we work with them remotely, and they say, you know, I've lost a parent, I've inherited all this, I don't know what to do. And unfortunately, we start going through the photos and they say the same thing that you originally said with your mom. I don't know who this is. And they feel compelled to get rid of it. And that's okay. That happens. But if you have the opportunity to talk about those stories, write down the stories from the person that experienced it, because there's so much power in that. And we took fewer photos back then. And so each photo really, you know, can have a powerful story. I know we had a client once who lost her mom and had tucked the photos away and lost her mom at an early age. And of course, had tucked those photos away because it was very emotional. And finally had the courage to open that bin and trusted us. And we were so honored. And we were looking through the photos and it was so surprising. It was a photo of she and her sister, and they were wearing this flowered dress. And it wasn't, you know, there was nothing behind them. They weren't in a unique situation. But her eyes started to well up with tears. And I said, okay, what's the story here? And she said, I remember that we were on a plane ride. And this is back when you had to dress up to get on the plane.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Right? And now you see people in leggings and yoga pants.
Yes,
very different. But that's a whole nother podcast. She said, my mom had us put these flower dresses on and I got really sick and I threw up all over my dress. And she said, when we landed at the airport, all my mom thought was, we need to get you another dress because you need to look nice. And she was laughing about it. And it brought some tears, but tears of joy because it was a memory. And so those little photos can, and she said, I had completely forgotten about that until I saw this photo. So I really love that it helps connect us.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And for me, it was looking, I remember one time my mother made a comment because I just love patent leather shoes, boots, whatever.
Right?
And she was saying, you know, you like that. So you know what, Rachel, I pulled out the photo album. I said in every picture of me as a child, what did I have? You bought me a patent leather pocketbook and shoes to match.
Look
and
at
she
that.
Was like, oh yeah, you're right. So,
right.
So they can bring. So.
You put the bright light on her with proof.
I know. So are there any other tips? And just because, like you said, people, they open, whether it's a bin, a box, a closet, a bag, for them just not to like get so overwhelmed. So they just don't want to ever, you know, move forward. Do you have any other tips that you'd like to share? Because you've shared a lot. I've been taking a lot of notes, Rachel.
Good. I'm so glad. A couple tips. I experienced overwhelm when I first started this company. There's not, unfortunately, a college of photo organizing. And so I spent a couple of years trying to research how can I provide this to clients all over the country. And I started with my own photos and my parents' photos, and I still recall that feeling of overwhelm. So what I encourage people to do is when you, first of all, I would get everything in one place. Even if you're not ready to tackle it, knowing that you have everything, because sometimes people will dive into, I'm just going to deal with this box. And they do it and they spend hours and days and months and weeks and so on. And then they find another box that could fill in the blank or had duplicates, had they had everything together. So I recommend, if you can, get everything in one place, kind of take an inventory of what you have. And if you have the energy to start tackling it, put it by media type, first of all. So put all the albums together, put all the envelopes together, put all the thumb drives together, and then start tackling it by decade and start with the ones that you can handle. Sometimes people think, well, I need to start with chronological. I'm just going to start with the first box that's in front of me. Start with what you can get through. Start with the ones that maybe have identifying information. If you inherited things from a parent or a grandparent, maybe like your mom did a wonderful job of documenting dates. So start with those, because inevitably you're going to find some that don't have dates. But I like to say that we're not just photo organizers, we're detectives.
Yes.
So we look at those and do a little detective work and go, well, let's see. So-and-so had braces in this photo from 1965. This one's not dated, but she has braces there too. So let's kind of assume that that's around the same time. I also find that the overwhelm comes from sitting down and trying to tackle every photo and categorize it. So here's what I recommend is set up, and this is how we do it, is get yourself some photo boxes, get some index cards and a Sharpie, and write the years down. So let's say you're going to tackle the 80s. So write 1980, 1981, et cetera, right? Put them on, if you have a large table, put them down on the table, or if you have bins, you can set them up in the bins. And then as you're going through the photos and you find a year, simply put it behind the year and try your best. And it's difficult because what do we want to do? We want to take the photo out and go, oh my gosh, I remember this. I need to send this to my girlfriend from high school, right? You know? And you've spent hours and before you know it, you've gotten through 10 photos. Try really hard to just set a goal for yourself. I'm just going to categorize these in a year. When you come across photos and you have no idea what the year is, consider putting in a decade. That's okay. We just want to, it's just like when you try and organize a closet or a kitchen or your digital files, right? You can't get into the minutiae. Do what you can. Now, if you come across something and you just say, I have no idea, I need to reach out to a family member, I need to do some more research, no problem. Put it aside in a box for review later. Give yourself some grace. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we do it here. And that's how we train all of our team. We have 6 full-time people here at 2000 Paces that are doing exactly that. And we have some pre-printed stuff and, you know, a little more detail. But I think the overwhelm comes when we feel like we have to do everything perfectly in the moment. I love to compare photo organizing to doing a puzzle. We love to talk about puzzles with lots of things. Mm-hmm. But when you sit down to do a puzzle, I think unless you've got some strange approach, typically we take all the edge pieces out, right? And we take all the edge pieces out, we separate it, and then we create this framework. And we create the edges, and now we have a plan, right? We have an idea of what we're going to do. And so we've got parameters that fall within, you know, a certain boundary. If it doesn't have a straight edge, we put it to the mm-hmm. side. Well, that's the same as the photos. If it doesn't have a particular year that we know and can identify, we're going to put it to the side. Then we take all the puzzle pieces, and most people will look at them and go, okay, let me separate them by color or shape. There's some kind of a method to that. There's a plan. And so if you've got that plan in mind and you stick with that plan, and by the way, try and enjoy the process, right? I mean, a puzzle is not meant to be frustrating. And if it starts to feel that way, then again, you can seek out professional experts in the field, or you can step away and take a break.
I like that. And you know what I did, Rachel? I did, because I had photos probably before 1923 up until after I was born, high school, right, etc. I decided to focus on just the ones that were the oldest, because I knew those were the ones that were, like you said, they were in the albums. Albums was getting yellow, dingy, papers were falling out. So I like that. So, and that helped me not get overwhelmed, because when I looked at all of it, it was like, where do I do? What do I start? So thank you so much for that. You've given so many wonderful tips, and I hope everybody watching and listening, share this with somebody. Share it with a family member. Share it with a friend, because I know I am actually going to post this interview on the Taylor Facebook family page. Yes,
I am. Wonderful.
I know they're probably like, oh, here goes Janet again, but right, we've got photos from the East Coast to the West Coast and all everywhere in between. So, Rachel, one question I do ask all of my guests is, how do you stay organized? Because you're a mom, a wife, businesswoman, probably active in the community. You've got relatives. So how do you just kind of manage it all?
Right. Well, I mean, if there's a secret ingredient or key, I'd love somebody to give that to me, right? I struggle just like everybody else. But, you know, it is. It's like many of us and like many women, we're juggling a lot. And so, taking on organizing for myself, I'm a list person. And I've got so much in my head all the time that can feel overwhelming. So I brain dump. I write everything down when it comes to my mind. I put it in a notebook, and, you know, later I categorize it and all that, because that's just how my brain works. But I get it out of my head. You know, here at the office, we employ time blocking. I think time blocking is a fantastic way. And even somebody taking on organizing their own photos, you know what? I'm going to spend 2 hours every Wednesday evening. That's my time block for my photos. And if I can go longer than 2 hours, great. So I think time blocking is great. Setting up some goals, setting up some guidelines. You know, with anything, I think it's really good to have a plan and to have a structure, you know, back to the puzzle. But when you're organizing your photos, that's the same thing. Okay, you know what? I'm going to spend this weekend gathering all of them. That's it. I'm just going to do that. And then the next task is I'm going to write all the inventory, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really having that plan, trying to block time for it. And I can't say it enough to give yourself grace, because with any kind of organizing, it can feel overwhelming. There's an emotional component and a psychological component, right, to what we do with our closets, with our photos. Of course, I'm a little biased, but I would argue that the photos bring an extra element. The emotions, when you look at your mom's in that yellow dress, and you look at those gloves, you know, and you look at the memorabilia and the invitations, and you think back to her telling that story, and you might remember her smile and her laugh, and the memories just flood back. Mm-hmm. It can be emotional, but it can be healing too. So we've also had clients who unfortunately are experiencing early onset dementia, things like that, and their adult children have gotten photos organized, and they've shown them these photos, and they've seen a glimpse. I mean, it's powerful and it's beautiful. But allow yourself to step away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Rachel, I have enjoyed this conversation, and I know you have provided so many wonderful tips and strategies for people just not to get overwhelmed, but also to protect as well as preserve. So how can listeners and anybody watching connect with you?
Absolutely. So again, we work with clients all over the country. We are in Southern California. So our website is 2000paces.com. It's the number 2000, P-A-C-E-S.com. And I'll just let you know, Janet, people say, well, what does that even mean, 2000 paces? And in biblical times, 2000 paces represented a day's journey. And we are trying to capture our client's journey. So that's where that comes from. So we're always focused on the journey. And the journey is ongoing. So 2000paces.com, of course, we're on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm on LinkedIn. And we do offer free phone consultations. So if you're thinking, you know, I'm not sure if I want to do this on my own, if I want some help, or maybe a hybrid of the two. And I do almost every phone consultation myself whenever I can, because I love talking to people to help them. So if you just want to get an idea of what you want to do with your photos and where your journey is going, we do have that link on our website.
And of course, you know, I will have links so you can connect with 2000 Paces directly, whether it's via social media or their website. So Rachel, again, thank you so much for your time today. It has truly been an enjoyable conversation.
Thank you, Janet. And I would love to see the photos of your mom sometime. Thanks.
So what was your takeaway from my conversation with Rachel? She gave so many tips, strategies, things we need to do. And as I shared during the interview, I have a container. And right now, all of my photos are in these cute little boxes, decorative boxes in my bedroom. No, they're coming out and they are going in a container that I feel is a little bit more safe. She said waterproof. I don't think my container is waterproof, but it's a lot more waterproof than those little cloth boxes I have them in. So that was my takeaway. So I would love for you to share yours. So now it's time to transition to Taylor's Tip Time. And this is where I'll be sharing 5 practical tips to help you get organized. And this week is to focus on those photos. So number one, decide what needs to be organized. Like I shared, I wanted to make sure that I organized the older photos first and because they were 1923 and before, and then I would organize those after I was born, create a list of supplies. I made sure that I had the Swiss paper that preserved those photos, as well as markers so I could mark names and dates, etc. But then the thing is, I had to schedule time just to do it. And for me, it was my Saturday mornings. I love Saturday mornings, specifically in the summer. I opened the windows when it was cool. And then I just sat down on the floor and did it. You know, I moved stuff aside, living room floor, nice carpet. And I just did it. I just did a little bit at a time. But I also, number five, I enjoy going, looking at the photos. You know, the one of my cousin who is now like 6'7", memories of my mom and just her wonderful life that she led and how she enjoyed life. So those are my tips. Decide what needs to be organized, what year, what category, create a list of supplies, schedule time just to do it. Just sit down and do it and then enjoy the memories you preserve. And I would love to hear from you, especially if you enjoy listening to this podcast. So please leave a review on the platform you're listening to. And are you ready to get your life organized? Virtual sessions are available. Whether it's your paperwork, your schedule, or overall life, I am here to help guide you on your journey to organization. Visit my website at janetmtaylor.com. And of course, click the link in the show page to schedule a complimentary 15-minute session. Take action now and start making progress today. And of course, as you know, I always like to just say thank you. Thank you for following me on social media, for your likes, your shares. Please continue to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest. And on Pinterest, I do have a board on organizing your photos. And don't forget to check out my YouTube channel and subscribe and click the bell for reminders. And, of course, if you are thinking of getting your life organized, you don't have to get overwhelmed. You can join my Facebook group, Living Life Totally Organized. It's a free community of women supporting each other on their journey to living a life that is totally organized. It's free, so join today. And each week we continue conversations started here on the podcast. I love it, but I also love every now and then I go on, maybe the morning, maybe the middle of the day, and just, you know, share some strategies on what you're tossing, how you can toss, how you can let go. So I would love for you to join the community of supportive people, you know, and it's wonderful how I can see in the chat how they're supporting each other. I just love it. So, you know, I always take that pause because do you know what time it is? It is Toss It Tuesday time. And this is the part where I help you declutter and simplify your life and get rid of stuff you don't need. So this week, we're talking about photos. So let's pull out the devices and let's delete the photos we don't need. You know, the ones where we kind of maybe have our thumb in front of the camera or the one that doesn't have the correct light, the good angle. Let's open up some of the storage that we have. And of course, now, and also I didn't mention, are you doing your jig? Because see, I got so excited about Toss It Tuesday. Are you doing your jig? Do you do a jig? Do you do a dance? Sometimes people tell me, Janet, I am walking while I'm listening. So what do you do during your Toss It Tuesday time? And what are you tossing? So my app suggestion for this week is we've got iGoogle, we've got iCloud, we've got Google Photos, you know, plus, you know, smugmug.com. And that's the one that Rachel recommended. It's called smugmug.com. And that's another way that you can really organize those photos. My product suggestion for this week is, you know, photo boxes. I mean, and she said, you heard Rachel, you know, get a marker, some 3x5 cards, some index cards, and start there. because sometimes it's just about us starting. We get caught up in the perfectionism. It doesn't move us forward. So for me, in the beginning, it was just, you know, separating. Okay, this is 1923. This is 1933. You know, this is 1963, which happened to be the year I was born. So therefore, I just, you know, and then I actually put them in the beginning. I have them in envelopes. Then I moved them from envelopes because once the sheets came in, so I could preserve them. But I also started making sure that, okay, these are, you know, my cousins over here, my cousins over there. So, but look at some of the products that Amazon has in my Amazon shop. And also, check out my repurpose board. Because, you know, sometimes there are so many creative ways. Sometimes people are actually preserving photos. Sometimes they create something beautiful with them. So check out the repurpose board. And if you have found a creative way to repurpose the photos, please let me know. Tag me. My book suggestion for this week is How to Organize Everything. Purge, sort, contain, maintain. Again, How to Organize Everything. Purge, sort, contain, and maintain. And my quote for this week is, with organizing comes empowerment. And you may be thinking, what does that really mean, Janet? For me, and on my desk, I have a picture of three generations. My great-grandmother, my grandmother, and my mother. And I had it fixed so that they're all like side by side. They're all in, I would say black and white, but it's just a little different color. And I actually have a picture of myself where I actually put myself in that kind of color scheme as well. But it's my great-grandmother, who my mother was named after, my grandmother and my mother, like three generations, and they're just kind of looking at me. And by going through my photos, I was able to find those. And that's empowering to me because those are strong women that I look at. And of course, I'm also looking at that picture right now and I'm thinking, my goodness, they're stylish women because my great-grandmother had these glasses that are right now in style. So, connect with us. We love to hear from you, listeners. And also connect with us on social media platforms. Share your journey and become part of the Got Clutter, Get Organized community. If you are here for the first time, whether you're seeking guidance, looking to connect with our guests, or simply want to share your thoughts, we're here for you. So make sure you subscribe and join the journey. Don't miss an episode of Got Clutter, Get Organized. And make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and embark on your journey of life organization. Let's grow together one episode at a time. Well, thank you so much for joining. And until next time, I want you to have a clutter-free day. But most of all, you have an organized week.